Brandenburg Radio News.
It may take a year for people to go, oh, I see that building has now been painted, or oh, I see I now have access to restrooms that have been closed.
State parks are heavily underfunded, but one proposition on November's ballot is trying to pull in more money. Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Thursday, September 23rd, 2010. I'm LaTanya Kirkland. It's been almost a year since L.A. Police Chief Charlie Beck took office, and he says the department has made progress. Laurel Galanter reports on a town hall where Beck looked back on his first year.
Speaking downtown at Town Hall L.A., Police Chief Charlie Beck said the city is getting safer each year.
This year will be the ninth year that the city of Los Angeles has reduced crime. And we didn't just reduce it by a little bit this year. This year, as of right now, as of today, violent crime is down in Los Angeles over 12%.
But he also acknowledged there was work to be done. Anger toward the police has been high after officers shot a Guatemalan immigrant several weeks ago in MacArthur Park. Beck said the police department needs to be more open about its actions.
You know, building public trust by being able to be transparent about controversial incidents that occur is huge.
Beck said the department's plan to install cameras in police cars would help. Laurel Galanter, Annenberg Radio News.
A 20-year-old man was stabbed to death outside his car in Hawthorne this morning. Police say he was stopped at a red light when he got into an argument with another driver. When he walked toward the other car, someone in the vehicle stabbed him. Inglewood Avenue was shut down near Rosecrans while police investigate. Councilmember Jan Perry is hosting a hearing tonight for the public to discuss reforms to the Department of Water and Power and the creation of a ratepayer advocate. Emily Frost spoke with concerned citizens about what they'd want from this advocate.
John Humphreys writes for City Watch LA and is a member of the Greater Wilshire Neighborhood Group. He says the ratepayer's advocate is crucial because of what he calls recent rate shocks.
The ratepayer's advocate role would be to, you know, oversee the operations, the plans, the finances, and the management of the Department of Water and Power on a timely and continuous basis.
Renewable resources consultant Alexander Kravitz is also attending tonight's meeting.
I welcome the opportunity to have more transparency about what goes into the rate.
Humphrey says the DWP has a credibility problem. He says creating an advocate and letting the public be part of the process is essential.
You know, we want to be in on that factory floor. We want to know the blood and guts that are in this memo so there aren't any curveballs in here.
One key concern citizens have raised is where the funding for this new office would come from. Humphreys wants the DWP to pay for it, but for the funds to stay independent. Consultant Kravitz disagrees.
Why not have it at the controller's office, for example? Since the controller has auditing capabilities, then perhaps the ratepayer advocate should be there.
She also thinks the advocate should focus more on renewable energy, not just lower costs.
I worry that the ratepayer advocate position might be construed as just a platform to keep rates low at any cost, and this will, I believe, cost ratepayers more in the long run.
The reform meeting will take place at 6 o'clock tonight at the South Los Angeles Constituent Service Center. Emily Frost, Annenberg Radio News.
The NAACP is calling for the passage of the National Criminal Justice Commission Act that would reform the prison system. The bill would establish a commission that would take an in-depth look at America's criminal justice system and would address the role of prisons in dealing with mental illness and addiction. At a news conference today at LA City Hall, Gerald Johnson of the North San Diego County NAACP said the nation's priorities are skewed.
Today, we have overcrowding institutions in the state of California. Today, we are laying off teachers and hiring prison guards. Now, it needs to be the other way around. We need to invest some more in our communities.
The act was sponsored by Democratic Senator Jim Webb. It was approved by a Senate committee, but a vote has not been scheduled in the full Senate. Happy autumn equinox, everybody. Tonight will be clear with a low of 61 degrees. Summer will hold on through the rest of the week. Tomorrow will have clear skies and a high of 86 degrees. The weekend will be even hotter with highs of 90 degrees both days. ¶¶ Later on Annenberg Radio News, new health care laws are taking effect. I talked to an expert to find out what's changed. Proposition 21 is one of those measures on this November's ballot that doesn't seem to be making many waves. It proposes to tack on $18 to register your vehicle at the DMV. That money will then fund state parks, which claim they'll be out of toilet paper come October. Seems like a win-win, right? Our reporter Stephanie Guzman went to the DMV today to find anyone to say something about it.
It's 9 a.m. in the morning, and already there's a line out the door at the DMV. Who knows how many of these people are here to register their cars? But we do know that in California last year, more than 22 million cars were registered. That's a lot of cars. And Prop 21 plans on getting $18 from every one of those drivers to help fund 278 state parks. Joshua Mendez showed up today to register his 1993 Honda Civic. He has to pay $175, and he's not too thrilled that those fees may go up.
I think they should find another way, because why should we be punished for, driving our cars? It's not like we can do anything about it, even if it passes, right? We're going to have to pay that extra $18 to register our vehicle.
But conservation groups across California say the extra money is necessary.
Those parks are heavily supported already by nonprofit organizations. They do a lot. But yet there is that need for more money to make these necessary maintenance and rehabilitation repairs on our state parks.
That was Jane Adams, the executive director of the California Park and Recreation Society. She says taxpayers will see changes if the proposition is passed.
It may take a year for people to go, oh, I see that building has now been painted, or, oh, I see I now have access to restrooms that have been closed.
One DMV manager told me it doesn't matter how much it costs, people will pay. Carlos Cuevas agrees.
You have to do it. You have to renew your plates, and because I need a driver to work. You need to drive around. And if you don't drive, they're going to stop and give you a ticket.
So taxpayers will have to decide what's more important, keeping toilet paper stocked in their state parks or pocketing that $18. Stephanie Guzman, Annenberg Radio News.
Passing a budget in most states only requires at least a 50% approval. But almost every year in California's recent history, legislators have come to a stalemate that leaves citizens waiting for a long overdue budget. Prop 25 aims to change that. Chris Foy looks into the proposed ballot initiative.
If Proposition 25 passes this November, it will change the way California's state government passes its yearly budget. Today, two-thirds of the state assembly and two-thirds of the state senate must pass a budget bill before it is sent to the governor for his okay or veto. Critics argue that California's almost annual stalemate on the budget is caused by this two-thirds requirement. Proposition 25 would change the voting requirement from a two-thirds vote to a simple majority of 50% plus one. The initiative would also make sure that politicians who turn in the state budget after its constitutional deadline of June 15 would not get paid any salary or reimbursed for any travel or living expenses. In its July report on the ballot initiative, the Legislative Analyst's Office estimates that if the budget were sent to the governor late, Proposition 25 would save the state nearly $50,000 a day. As it is now, legislators are reimbursed their full salary even if the budget is late. Over the past 30 years, California's legislator has met this June deadline only five times. The proposed amendment to California's Constitution says it is not directed at the way state legislature raises taxes, which is currently set at a two-thirds vote requirement. Chris Foy, Annenberg Radio News.
The first key changes to health care insurance go into effect today. Among the changes, insurance companies can no longer deny coverage to children with pre-existing conditions or drop patients with an illness. Jessica Flores has more.
Before the Senate enacted health care overhaul last March, people could be dropped from insurance plans or even denied coverage if they got a serious illness. Josh Lilienstein was one of those people. He's now in his third year studying to be a doctor at USC, but he spent his first year in medical school as a patient, just diagnosed with testicular cancer.
I've undergone three surgeries. I went through 14 different chemotherapy drugs. I've been treated at four different medical centers. I'm really happy to say that I'm healthy at this point and back to my studies.
But during that ordeal, he exceeded his lifetime maximum of $500,000, and his insurance provider dropped him.
Putting the burden of finding cost-effective care onto the patient is really impossible because We don't have a choice.
Federal health care provisions enacted today will give him a choice. A key provision blocks insurers from placing lifetime caps on how much medical costs they will cover. But some insurers have said they'll find ways around complying, like not selling policies just for children. The legislation will also allow young adults to remain on their parents' plans until age 26. It is estimated that more than 1 million young people will benefit from the provision. Jessica Flores, Annenberg Radio News.
Today, I spoke with USC professor Gregory Stevens of the research at the Keck School of Medicine. We discussed the health care provisions that went into effect today and their immediate effects.
What will the immediate effects be of the provisions going into effect today?
First of all, kids can't be denied coverage through a private market health insurance plan for any sort of pre-existing conditions, and this was a problem for a long time. The second piece is that there's no lifetime benefits limit. For any new health insurance plans that are created from today going forward, they can't charge you any co-pays or extra payments for things that are considered widely recommended preventive services. So these would be things like, you know, mammograms and vaccines. There's no co-payments for those anymore.
Speaking of preventative care, do you think it will have a significant effect on cost in the long run, or do you think people simply won't take advantage of it?
Well, that's a good question. You know, there's always a health behavior component to these things. And as much as you want to encourage people to sort of take care of themselves and make use of preventive services, you can't force them to do it. But that said, you know, eliminating the co-payments for preventive care and, you know, giving people health insurance coverage so that they can go in and see a primary care doctor fairly easily, I think is it opens the right doors.
President Obama has been trying to assure Americans that the health care plan will lower the deficit in 10 years. As it stands, do you think that is possible?
It's possible, but it's optimistic. I think the general consensus of those who've been sort of studying these health care reforms and what they're going to mean for you know, the United States and its economy is that it does a lot to get people coverage, which is important in its own right.
Thank you for speaking with us.
Oh, sure. It's been my pleasure. Thanks very much.
All right. All right. Take care. Kids in Englewood are getting a new place to play this week, thanks to volunteers in the city. Stephanie Kaiser has more.
Ashwood Park in Englewood didn't offer kids a lot to do. That all changed today.
The playground equipment that was here before was in disrepair. It had been vandalized, and pretty much the children could not get the full enjoyment when they would come to the park. So we are excited to be able to bring this playground to the community.
That's Sabrina Barnes, the city's park director. She's watching as volunteers transform Ashwood into a new 2,800 square foot playground. They're adding swing sets, slides, and climbing walls. There is also a fitness center and a new tennis court. Also, trees are being added to the surrounding area. Arts Commissioner Anne LaRose has been an Englewood resident for the past 21 years. She says the park was in desperate need of repair.
We had a playground here before. It was old. This park gets used a heck of a lot. And we wanted to bring it up to speed and give the kids more fun areas.
Several hundred volunteers are helping build the playground. Shiva's USA player Dan Kennedy and Cesar Zamora and the Shiva's girls also helped with the construction. This is the second playground being built this year in Englewood. The first one was built in March, and the city plans on the reconstruction of six others.
For this particular area, it's the only one that serves the area. For the neighborhood here, it probably serves at least 25,000 youth in the immediate area.
The sponsor of the project is a nonprofit called Kaboom, which builds playgrounds especially in neighborhoods that don't have enough recreational space, like Englewood. Home Depot and Englewood Little League are also sponsors of the playground. Stephanie Kaiser, Annenberg Radio News.
Half of all adolescent Latinos in Los Angeles have not received vaccines for whooping cough or meningitis. These contagious diseases may go undiagnosed and could cause death. Albert Sabate reports what the problems are and what is being done to solve them.
Marco Astorga is just one of thousands whose mother never took him to get vaccinated. She said the $25 copayment seemed like a lot for two little shots for his otherwise healthy 11-year-old. Celebrity Dr. Lisa was at a kickoff campaign today to get Latino teens vaccinated. She says education and access are the biggest problems. It's especially alarming because half of the Latino children are not getting vaccinated, and Hispanic parents are not aware that their adolescents also need to be vaccinated. The symptoms of these diseases are often confused with a common cold or flu. But this poses a serious threat. This year alone, 5 Latino infants have died in the Los Angeles County from whooping cough. One of the main reasons is sociological. Families in Latinos tend to be larger, and there is a greater network and opportunity for someone in the family to contract the disease and bring it home. So the best way to prevent this, said the campaign, was by vaccination. They pounded it over and over. Marco Astorga said it only hurt a little, but that little pain will take him a long way. This is Albert Sabate, Annenberg Radio News.
A woman fended off a charging bear using an unlikely weapon, a zucchini. The Montana resident saw a 200-pound black bear on her front porch. When it came after her pet dog, she grabbed the first object she saw. That happened to be a foot-long zucchini from her garden. She threw it at the bear and hit it on the head. The bear then took off. Wildlife officials are still looking for it. The Los Angeles Times Festival of Books is the country's biggest literary festival. It's been held at UCLA since it started 15 years ago. But the Times just announced that this year's festival will be moving to USC. The Times says that it brings it closer to public transport and allows it to expand. Dan Dupil represents the LA Public Library at the festival. He says that will help the festival bring together readers from across the city.
It's just amazing to just walk through the festival and see all of these people who really have such a love for reading and for books and for authors and for the life of the mind. It definitely a cross-section of almost anyone you can imagine, any ethnicity, any age. There's something there for everybody.
The festival will kick off at its new location in April. Now we check in with Candace Brain to see what's coming up on Annenberg TV News at 6 p.m. on Trojan Vision.
Police have a $50,000 reward for the information of a murderer of a former Venice High School student. And despite all the money Meg Whitman has spent, she's trailing behind in the polls. And Starbucks is raising their prices for their fancier drinks. Tune in to ATVN tonight at 6 p.m. for more.
Great, thank you. You can hear more about our news today at our website, annenbergradio.org. That's it for this Thursday. We had help today from Julia Gabrick, Benjamin Campinos, Rachel Lee, Ryan Nunez, Stephanie Sherman, and Kyle Tabuena-Froley. Ariel Edwards-Levy is our producer. The executive producer is Jessica Flores. For all of us in Annenberg Radio News, I'm LaTanya Kirkland.